our Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you're visiting with us for the very first time or if you're tuning in live for the very first time, we're doing a series, of course, through the entire book of Corinthians on Sunday mornings, and now we're doing an in-depth study on the gifts of the Spirit. That's in chapter 12 through chapter 14. Let me read to you there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be what? Say that word again. Ignorant. God doesn't want you or any Christian to be ignorant of the gifts of the Spirit. He says, you know that you were Gentiles, and you were carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, our text this morning, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. Diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues and interpretations of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Chapter 12 through 14 are speaking primarily of public worship. But it's also talking about the third issue that is there at the Church of Corinth. Remember that this church is a young church, maybe 4 years old. They're a carnal church. They're babes in Christ. They're walking after the flesh and not after the Spirit. They're not only suing one another, there is sexual immorality in the church. They're carnal, divided, and it's just horrible, the things that are occurring. They're also abusing the Lord's Supper by getting drunk at the Lord's Supper, not sharing any of their food with the poor at the Agape Feast. But more than that, when we get to this chapter, 12 through 14, they are now doing what is also happening today because of ignorance, and that is the abusing of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, the main gift that was being abused at the church at Corinth was the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. That's why when we get over to chapter 12, 14 rather, you'll notice that that is basically prophecy and tongues, interpretation of tongues, because that was the main issue. But they were also exalting the believers that were actually flowing, if you will, and God was using them in the gifts of the Spirit. But they were puffed up. They were carnal. They were, I'm of Paul, or look at this brother here, and man, God is using him. And so they would elevate the man instead of giving glory to God, which you never do. Amen? You always give glory to the Lord, never to man. So with all that being said, remember that spiritual gifts, they are supernatural. They're not natural. And they're given by the Holy Spirit as he wills and for the purpose of building up the body of Christ, building up the church, and carrying along the work of the Lord in the body here upon earth. Now, with all that being said, last Sunday I gave an introduction to the gifts of the Spirit about not being ignorant. It would behoove you, believe me, to pick that up in the bookstore or go to the online and listen to it live, because you truly need that. Listen carefully. Satan does not want any pastor, teacher to teach on the gifts of the Spirit. That's why it's so skipped over in the church today, because some people say, well, we don't even believe in the gifts anymore. Therefore, when the apostle died, the last one, John, they all passed away, which is not true. Which, like I said last Sunday, which gifts did pass away? You follow me? Did the gift, is pastor, teacher, is that gone? The gift of giving, is that gone? The gift of administration, the gift of helps? No. So you can't define what gifts are available for today or the gifts that have passed away, because we believe that all the gifts of the Spirit are available today. They did not pass away. But with all that being said, you know, the devil doesn't want the gifts of the Spirit, especially don't teach the Sunday crowd, the Wednesday crowd, just because that way people won't get all weird and send you weird emails and all that, you know. No, listen, the devil, he doesn't want the church to operate in the gifts, because the gifts build up the church and they set people free. Amen? Yes, to be used by God. So the gifts are very, very important. But I'll tell you what Satan does want. He wants every Christian to remain ignorant concerning the gifts of the Spirit. And I don't want you to be ignorant, and God doesn't want you to be ignorant. That's why we're doing this series. It says in verse 12 of chapter 14, it says, "So even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts," look what Paul, or let me just read what Paul said. He says, "Let it be for the edification," or the building up of the church that you seek to excel. So the church at Corinth, they were zealous for the gifts, but they were zealous in the wrong way. And what they were doing, instead of using the gifts the correct way, they were tearing the body apart instead of building up the church of God. And so they were doing that by glorifying men, women, whoever the gifts were operating through, instead of giving glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, whenever a group of believers, a church, the body of Christ, whatever denomination, whatever affiliation, when a church is ignorant of the gifts of the Spirit, loved one, then you cannot be effective in truly building up the body of Christ, because they're meant to edify the body. So last week we learned also that the true manifestation, or the true gifts of the Spirit, whenever they are in operation and manifested in a scriptural manner and in the correct manner the Bible teaches, they always exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. They never, ever, ever exalt man. They never exalt man's ministry unless it's the people who do that. Do you understand? Jesus told us, remember, in John 16, 14, about the Holy Spirit when he comes. He said, "He will glorify me." He won't glorify man. He's going to glorify our Savior. We learned also that if the gifts of the Spirit are not operated through the power of love in chapter 13. That's why the Holy Spirit put chapter 13, right between 12 and 14, okay, to balance out the gifts of the Spirit. They have to be done in love. Whenever you see someone, "Well, you know, I've got the gift of this and I have the gift of that," loved one, listen, the Bible says love is not arrogant. Love is not puffed up. Love does not parade itself. Amen? Okay, so you see, love is the divine power, if you will, behind the fruit of the Spirit. Behind the gifts of the Spirit. We also learned that if you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, that the gifts of the Spirit are not a sign of depth of character, and they're certainly not a sign of a maturity. Amen? A one-day-old, like I said last Sunday, a one-day-old believer, God can use to even lay hands on the sick. You follow me? But that doesn't mean they're mature. Not at all. And so many today, like then, the gifts of the Spirit, they are now elevated in our culture and in their culture above the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, is love. Oh, how vital that is. And listen, like I said last week, you know, God can use you in the gifts of the Spirit, but no one has all the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Okay, we learned that last Sunday. That's why you need that introduction. However, every Christian is to have all the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 and following. Now, with all that being said, in chapter 12, we have 9 gifts that we're going to be covering. Hallelujah. Now, it was a word. You want me to interpret that? See that right there? It said, "Everybody give right now." I'm joking. This can only happen to me. In chapter 12, we have 9 gifts. Now listen carefully. These gifts are not, chapter 12 and 4 through 14, doesn't in any way teach us or give us the complete giftings of all from the Spirit of God. This is just a partial list at best. You can go back into Romans chapter 12, verse 3 and following. You see other gifts of the Spirit. You can go to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, about how our Lord, when he ascended, he gave gifts unto men, all the way through verse 11, talking about where he gave gifts, where there's prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers, and, you know, right on down the line. So this is not exhaustive by any means, but these are the ones, evidently, that were more predominant in that fellowship. Now, we want to be careful, always be careful with the definitions. Now, there are those that give weird definitions of the gifts we're going to cover. We're only going to cover three this morning. But the thing is, you know, we have to be careful how we define these gifts. Because, you know, you can't learn the gifts, really. Did you know that? I mean, you don't know. They're supernatural, and they don't stay with you. You know, you just can't operate them when you want to. This is the Lord working through the church, through the body of Christ, through individuals, as he wills, and he manifests them as he wills. Now, with all that being said, there are three gifts that we're going to look at, and they're called the gifts of revelation, okay? Now, it's very important as we look at the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. They all have to deal, actually, they all deal with knowledge, divine knowledge, if you will. But it's very important that you remember about this, that the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the gift of prophecy, meaning not the gift of a prophet when we get to that, the gift of prophecy, we can all prophesy, it says. We want to remember that these gifts, especially the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, they do not in any way ever give you new revelation, meaning add to Scripture. You follow me? They never add to or supersede the infallible word of the living God. The canon is closed. Does that make sense? Okay. So with all that being said, we have the three, like I said, that reveal the gifts of revelation. Then we have three that do something, the gifts of power. That's the gift of faith, the gift of healings, plural, and, of course, the working of miracles. And then we have the three that say something. In other words, that utterance, if you will, the gift of utterance, which would be prophecy, the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Now, let's begin. We're going to look at three this morning, but let's look at verse 4. There are diversities of gifts. That word diversity just means there are different kinds. That word is only found here in the New Testament. But look what he says. All these different kinds of gifts, they come from the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries. In other words, limitless varieties of things that the Lord does, okay? And all of the gifts are for service. They're not for you. They're for the service of the body, for others. He says, so there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities. In other words, they're different in their effects, but they work, if you will, to accomplish whatever the Lord wants to accomplish. It says, but it is the same God who works all in all. So you have the diversities of gifts, you have the differences of ministries, you have the diversities of activities, but listen now, these are all in unity. Unity in diversity. That's why Paul later on, when we get to verse 12, we'll go into the body of Christ. He uses as an illustration. Now listen carefully. The gifts of the Spirit are never competing with one another. I don't know how people even think that could happen, but they actually complement one another. The gifts of the Spirit, they operate differently, and listen carefully, they operate differently in different believers because we're not all the same. We don't all have the same emotional makeup or the same personality, do we? Okay, and the Lord speaks to us differently on the level that we are at. He knows that we're wonderfully and fearfully made. He knows everything about us. God knows how to speak to each one of us, and he doesn't do it the same. We're not all identical, are we? See, we have oneness, but we do not have sameness, all right? So what you want to make sure of is that when you hear, well, this happened to this person with this gift and so forth, and the next thing you know, you're saying, well, I want the same identical experience. Don't do that. That God is not going to do the same thing for you. Do you follow me? He's different. He does everything different with each and every one of us. Now, listen carefully, though. When he does do that, and he's using you, it is never again, and you'll hear me be so repetitious in this, it's never to exalt you, and it's never to exalt the ministry. It's always to bring glory and honor and exaltation to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, to be used by God, loved one, is a honor. I mean, hello. I mean, I say, oh, God, you're so good. I mean, you know, because everybody's different. I remember Rebecca and I mean, I don't know how many years ago now, I forget, but it's a long time ago. And there was this guy in the church that we pastored, and he wasn't in our church. He was from another church, but I visited with him occasionally. And so whenever the Spirit of God was moving, or he said it was moving, his eye would start twitching. You know, and I called him the twitching eye man. You know what I mean? And I'm going, oh, this is crazy. But he would start twitching, and then he'd start talking. I'm going, you know, this is, listen, don't get weird. That's why people, do you understand? People go, I don't want to be a part of this. The twitching eye ministry, I don't want anything to do with that. Did you notice there when we talked about the diversities of ministries, the differences of ministries and so forth, did you know that it was the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, the Trinity in reverse order? Did you notice that? Where it said same Spirit, same Lord, same God. So they're all involved in this together. Now look at verse 7. But the manifestation, that public visible manifestation, if you will, of the Spirit is given. It's given. It's grace. It's not earned. It's not learned. It's not owed to you or me. No, it's given. It's not imparted by man either, okay? Is given to each one, and look why, for the profit of all. So all of the gifts of the Spirit are for the profit of all, meaning the body of Christ. They're never for show. They're never to draw attention to self. Again, they always exalt our Lord. So if we neglect the gifts of the Spirit, if we're ignorant of the gifts of the Spirit, then all of a sudden it's no longer a profit for all. It'll be a loss for all. Does that make sense? Now, the manifestation here, that means public, visible manifestation. Now, let's begin with the three gifts that reveal, beginning in verse 8. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Now, listen carefully. The word of wisdom is a divine manifestation or divine information from the Holy Spirit of God, and it's always concerning, always, always concerning the future. Either a person, either a place, either a thing. And it is a word. It is only a word, okay? It says it's a word of wisdom, but it's a word of God's wisdom, the Holy Spirit's wisdom. It's only a small divine fragment, if you will, from God. I tell you, it's incredible to have a divine impartation given unto you, which is God's very own perfect divine wisdom. Amen? That's an incredible thing to happen. Now listen carefully. Let's don't be ignorant. The word of wisdom is not the gift of wisdom. I am very wise now. I know everything. I'm a know-it-all. No, you're a booger-eating moron, okay? Do you understand? No, that's not it at all. Now, the word of wisdom, again, it's always future. It tells you something that may be happening tomorrow. It may tell you something that's going to happen in the future or next week or whatever. A perfect example is when Jesus was talking to his disciples and he was looking at the temple, remember, the Temple Mount, and he says, verily I say unto you, not one stone of the temple, remember, will be left upon another. Well, when he spoke that in AD 33, that did not happen until AD 70, and we know the story. So it's those things future. If you go back and study the Word of God, and let's say you go back even to the book of Genesis, go back to the days of Noah. Noah received a word of wisdom from God. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 12, or 13 rather, in 14, you remember what God told Noah? He says, well, let me just read it to you. He says, God said to Noah, you know what? The end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, that is a word of wisdom. That's something that's coming. That's future. Does that make sense? Then in verse 14, what does God tell Noah? Gives him a word of knowledge. In other words, it's time to build an ark, buddy. You better go, you follow me. So that's what the Lord does. Now, these nine gifts of the Spirit, to me personally, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, which flow together, sometimes you cannot tell which is which, are the greatest gifts here, to me. Now, I know that Paul says, over when we get over to the next chapter, he says, man, be zealous for spiritual gifts, especially that you would prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in other tongues, it says in chapter 14. So we know that prophecy, yes, is wonderful, but we can all prophesy, okay? He says that. Paul says that later. We'll learn that later. But right now, we're focusing on three gifts, and right now, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. These two gifts, to me, are two of the greatest, most unbelievable. I always is blown away when I see God do these things. Now, loved one, listen, they work together, and I don't know how they work together because I'm not the Holy Spirit, but I do know that they work together. See, the word of knowledge is a divine revelation from the Holy Spirit, and here's what happens. The word of knowledge, always gives you facts. It gives you facts about a person, gives you facts about a place or things, and it's always a past, or it could be even present. And it says, if you'll note, it says a word. He's not giving you a book, a word. He's giving you a small amount of God's very own knowledge. Now listen, this is not in any way natural knowledge. Loved one, this is supernatural knowledge because God gives you a word from His knowledge. He's giving you divine facts that you don't know, you could never know by studying or anything. You'd never understand it. Does that make sense? Boy, that is so vital that we give that. He's giving you those certain facts that can never be known in the natural. For example, the word of knowledge given facts concerning Saul of Tarsus when the Lord led him, remember, on the Damascus Road. The Lord speaks unto Ananias and says this in Acts 9:11. This is a word of knowledge. So the Lord said unto Ananias, arise, go to the street called Straight, okay, inquire at the house of Judas, one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying. In a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias, and that was who he's speaking to, coming in, put his hand upon him that he might receive his sight, in other words, be healed. Was that a lot of information? Let me just read it. He says, I want you to go to the street called Straight. My gosh, okay. Also, inquire at the house of Judas. There's one guy there called Saul of Tarsus. He's praying. See, God knows everything. I want you to put your hands upon. That is a word of knowledge that he received just like that from the Lord. Now listen to the word of wisdom. Remember, the word of wisdom reveals the future. I mean, the purpose of God has to do with facts as well. Now listen, he says, and Ananias said, well, Lord, man, this guy's a troublemaker. You know, the story goes on and on. And then what does the Lord say? He says, listen, Ananias, you go. He's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, they work together. Loved one, listen to me now. God is omniscient. He knows everything about everything, everywhere. His knowledge knows absolutely no limits or any bounds. He knows every star. He knows every thought of every person on earth. He knows every person as an individual, not as a crowd. Are you with me? Oh, loved one, listen. Every person is an open book. He is the God of past, present, and future. He's eternal. He's Alpha, Omega. He knows absolutely everything. He knows my rising up and he knows my sitting down. He knows every foot. He knows every footstep I take. Psalm 139, verse 2 and 3. He knows it all. Every hair upon my head, he's numbered. Every sparrow that falls to the ground, anywhere, anytime, in any generation, in any moment, he knows. He's God. Man, I say, oh, Lord, you're incredible. But listen, whenever God gives you word of knowledge, word of wisdom, he only gives you or reveals to you what he wants you to know. That's it. He doesn't give you any more than he, this is just a fragment. Now, you say, well, Bill, that's how you, that comes through Bible study. No, it doesn't come through Bible study. This is a supernatural gift that God uses you in just a moment of time. It's so quick. Now, it's very important, especially in this culture today, the gifts of the Spirit are given to help people, help the body of Christ, help people that are hurting, never to harm people. Do you got me? You know, sometimes you hear these people, they give you this, you know, like, boy, God hates you, or this is going to happen to you. And man, listen, that's not God. That's not what the gifts do, loved one. You know, dear Lord. No, the word of knowledge, remember, operates through chapter 13. All the love. Now listen, when a Christian, be not ignorant, when a Christian, a minister, a pastor, due to ignorance, when they operate in the gifts of the Spirit, and they do not do it according to God's word, scriptural, and they do it differently, then they can open themselves up for what the Bible says are familiar spirits. And that person starts counterfeiting, unknown to them, counterfeiting the gifts of the Spirit. You know, that is such a sad thing. I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit does not reveal words of knowledge and words of wisdom to people who gossip. He doesn't do it. Give you word of wisdom, word of knowledge to those who sow discord in the church. He does not do that. Those are things that God hates. Amen? He has no way he does that at all. So the one reason that we see, because people say, well, Bill, why do we see so little of the gifts of the true gifts or manifestation of the Spirit today? Well, it's number one, it's because people are ignorant. Number two, it's because they're ignorant that they have to be done through chapter 13, through the agape of God. Now, love does no harm to his neighbor. Amen? So the gifts are there to help. So the word of knowledge, that God gives us certain facts, he gives us knowledges about things. Now, that cannot be known in our own mind or in the natural. Let me give you some just baby examples, okay? For example, about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, right here in the sanctuary, I was sitting right there, and I'd been, or back there, I can't remember, but I was twirling my wedding ring, or I thought I was twirling my wedding ring, okay? So then as I was came up here to preach and so forth, and I was put up my hands, and I looked, and my wedding ring was gone. And so, you know, I went, well, I probably just, it slipped off my finger and I'll get it after the service. So to make a long story short, it wasn't there. Well, the next day, on Monday, of course, you know, I came back to the church and Merlinda, everybody, we searched this church. I went everywhere. I went through every chair. I laid down on the floor with a flashlight. You know what? I've had this ring on my finger for 40 years, loved one. I was in tears. I'm serious. I was in tears. This killed me. I was so grieved. I went everywhere looking. I mean, I tore my office apart. I just said, oh God, oh, how in the world could I have lost that? Went all through the house, tore my car apart inside. You know what I'm talking about, right? About 3 weeks, 2-3 weeks later, we're asleep in the bed. The Lord, as God is my witness, I don't know if it's 2 o'clock, 1:30, but it's in the morning. Wakes me up, and the Holy Spirit gave me a word of knowledge. He said, son, your ring is in your glove in the garage. I woke up my wife. I said, I know where the ring is. I did, and went right back to sleep. I didn't even go to the garage. Honest to God. Rebecca, did I go to the garage? No, she's back there. No, I didn't. I walked out there in the morning, really, you know, like a rooster. Walked out there, that glove was laying. I put my hand in that glove, and that ring slid right on my finger. Yeah. Okay, now wait. You say, well, Bill, that's silly. No, that is a word of knowledge. Do you follow what I'm saying? Something so tiny and so simple, loved one. See, a word of knowledge when it comes to you. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit gives you the facts about something, a place, person, thing, but he does so, I mean, instantly. Instantly. You know the facts about someone just like that. Never to harm, never to gossip, never to hurt, never to build you up, but to exalt Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord does. In other words, it's not where, well, I see that person over there, he's limping, must have some pain, I'll go give him a word. Hello. No, or you know, if you've ever been in those services where people go, I feel it right now, I'm being led by the, I have a word of knowledge. God just said, there's 10 people. You're going to give $1,000. Go ahead and raise your hand. Raise them right now. That's not a word of knowledge. That's a word of bull. Do you understand? No, come on. Listen, I've been in it a long time, loved one. I've seen horrible things. I know what I'm talking about. No, not at all. But listen, instantly, I mean absolutely instantly. Well, I want a word from God. I heard my brother one time, my wife's sister said, Wayne, he said, do you have a word from God for me? And my boy, yes, I do. You need to catch up on your tithing. Yeah, that's a good word. Maybe some of you just caught that. I don't know. No, listen. It was many years ago. Matter of fact, if you were at our 25th anniversary service, when Mike got up to share about this one family that we so loved, and they were so poor. The husband was just came to Christ, and he had done something in California. And so when he came to Christ in the old building over there on the west side of Fort Worth, and when he did, he came up and said, you know, to Mike and me, he says, I did something wrong in California, and I'm going to turn myself in. I said, you have 5 kids. What did you do? He goes to the Fort Worth Police Department. They said, oh, you don't have anything against you anywhere. Nothing. Nothing at all. He said, praise God. I mean, we were rejoicing. And then all of a sudden, about a month later, whatever, he's arrested. They put him in prison. Now, while he's there, of course, the church was a wonderful family. Lovely kids, beautiful wife, godly woman, okay? We loved them. They loved us. And we helped him. He got out of prison. Everything was fine. We made sure their kids went to school the whole bit. But one day, I was standing right here. Now, let me say something before I begin. I talked to my wife before I taught this morning. I said, I don't like sharing stories about me and what God does. It's hard for me. I don't enjoy this, okay? Are you with me? Because I never, ever want to draw any attention to me because I know that I am nothing. I know he is everything. But I'm showing you that God can use me, he can use anyone. Amen? So the word of knowledge, it comes instantly, divine facts in the mind of God. You know in a moment. I was standing there, this young lady that I was just mentioning, that we love, I love, she was walking up, and I it was altar time, altar call. She was just walking by. I'd finished praying with people. I'm leaving. And when I looked at her, instantly, I knew a whole ton of facts. Scared me. I looked at her and called her by name, and I said, you know that I love you. She said, of course. I said, you know that I would do anything to help you. She said, of course that. And I said, I'm going to say some things to you. And if I am wrong, I want you to slap my face just as hard as you can. I said, because God just gave me a word of knowledge. And I said, may I share that with you? She said, yes. I said, you're working at a such and such a place. I said, you're at the cash register. And I said, behind you is a young man. He's a handsome fellow. He's much younger than you are. And I said, he's been saying things to you that just meet every emotional need in your life. And I said, is it time to slap my face? She said, no, Bill, it's not. I said, so far what I'm saying, is it true? She said, yes. I said, he's propositioned you. He's asked you to go out, and you're married with 5 children. I said, you must quit your job. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. You must quit your job and quit it today. I'm right today. Do not go back to that place, because you will go out with him and you will sin against God and you will sin against your family. I love you and I know you love the Lord Jesus. Please, please don't do that. She said, I'm quitting today. But she didn't. And she went back and she committed adultery. It was a horrible time of counseling. You see, God did that to protect. Do you understand? God did that to help a person because he loves her, loves you, loves me. And then thank God, through counseling, the family was put back together. They both went into the ministry and are serving the Lord Jesus today. You see, just because that happened, see, God will still get you through. Do you understand? But that's what those things do. You know, the gifts of the Spirit are so incredible. In my first pastorate, I was driving from the church into Fort Worth. And it was dark, like it has been with all this raining and stuff that's going on. And I was in tears, to be honest with you. I was so burdened. And I just said, Lord, I can't take this. I can't. I'm so hurting inside my heart. And as I was driving, it was out in the country on these four-lane highways. It was about 12 o'clock. And the moment I passed this roadside park, it was so weird. I don't know why. But all of a sudden, the burden was gone. And I went, oh, Lord, thank you. I thought, well, he answered my prayer. You understand? The next day, I run into a plumber, chews a little bit of tobacco, has his, you know how the boots are, and they put the pants in the boot, and his belt kind of hangs out. And I said, hey, brother, how are you doing, man? He says, hey, Pastor Bill, how are you? And I said, man, he said, you know, I had a burden for you yesterday. I said, you did? I said, what time was that? About 12 o'clock. I said, really? I said, man, I was so burdened yesterday. He said, yeah, I pulled over in a roadside park. The Lord told me to pull over there and pray for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? The moment I passed that roadside park, the burden was completely gone. There's so many things I could share. And the reason I'm doing it is to exhort you. For God wants to use you. You know what I'm saying? He wants to use you to build up people, to help people, to give you a word and so forth. That's what he wants to do. You know, 20, 30 years ago, Rebecca and I was sitting in the Tarrant County Convention Center at the very back row. The Lord told us to go to a meeting there that night. And there was a person that I had met when I was in South Africa preaching. And he didn't really know me or anything like that, but he was preaching that night, and great man of God. And as we were at the back row, he had mentioned from the pulpit, he says, I want to pray for pastors. I want to pray with whoever is da-da-da-da-da. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, go down there immediately when he gives the invitation. He's to pray for you. Now, and I told Becky, I said, he's going to pray. God told me to go down there. What do you think that means? You know how you are. You're going, ah, you know, what's going to happen? I'm going to be a worldwide minister. What's going to happen to me? You know, I'm going to clean toilets probably the rest of my life now. He gets up, he calls for it, and then he leaves. He walks off the stage. There's thousands of people there. I went, why is he leaving? He just walked, God grabbed his Bible and left. I said, I'm leaving. I ran all the way around the convention center, all the way down the halls. Man, I was looking everywhere for that man because the Lord said, he has to pray for you. I get there, he's gone. I mean, and you can ask my wife, I start crying. I said, well, why would God tell me that? And I miss this guy. Well, the next day, I had to pick up a pastor who was going to take to the airport. Back then, it was called the Hotel Texas, downtown Fort Worth. I walked into the Hotel Texas, you know, and of course, that was from all the people from the convention were staying there, and all the big boys. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So I go, and I'm going to pick this guy up so I can take him to the airport. And all of a sudden, the man who God told me he was to pray for you, he's at a big table with a lot of the big evangelists and so forth. He looks at me and he says, I was supposed to pray for you last night. And I mean, I'm back. I'm going, you were? You know, because, yes, you were. You know, and he runs and he lays hands and he prays over me. And I'm not telling you what he prayed. But see, that's how God does things. Do you understand? Listen, do you know that so many people get away from the supernaturalness of God, the here-ness and the now-ness of God, that God no longer moves because nobody wants God to move. Nobody's expecting. Nobody's, you know, ready to be used by God any longer. The gifts of the Spirit, loved one, they are incredible. And they're always used to bring glory to Jesus Christ, never to man, never to a man's ministry. Are you following me? And then there's that discerning of spirits, okay? Look at verse 10. To another, the working of miracles, another prophet, to the discerning of spirits. Now, the discerning of spirits, you'll find a million different definitions on what that really means. But I'll give you what I believe it means with all of my heart, and I've seen it happen. The discerning of spirits is a supernatural ability to discern whether teaching is true or false. Also, it's to be able to see behind the veil, if you will. I don't know how to explain it, but it's to see into the unseen world and discern what is happening. Now, I've heard people say, well, I'm discerning what this is. Don't do that. I'm discerning the situation. This is not the gift of discernment. Does that make sense? This is not a hunch. This is not, I have an intuition. This is not the gift of suspicion. This is not fault finding. Loved one, this is not, I'm a hypocrite hunter. No. This is the discerning of spirits. Spirits. Good angels, bad angels, demons, whatever it might be. It's also to discern those that are teaching. Is it by the flesh? Is it by the Spirit? Is it true? Is it untrue? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:20, do not despise prophecy. Test and prove all things. So that discerning of spirits concerns spirits and what they're doing, their activity. 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits, whether they're of God. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. There's only two spirits operating in the world today, the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. The spirit of error is John 8:44, the father of all lies. He uses the demonic realm to get men and women to act upon what is false and seduces them. It says in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, and here's why, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That means things that are taught by demons, and demons use men. Are you listening to me? And women as well. Now, the discerning of spirits is this. It is what we see. It's what the natural eye cannot see. Let's put it that way. You can't see it. How many believe that there are angels around us? Okay, but do you see them? I don't see them. I don't see them at all. But here's what happens. To discern the Spirit, you discern the activity. Is this the Holy Spirit of God? Is he moving? And you can say, yes, I know he is. Why? Because the gift of discernment, the discerning of spirits, is in operation. But it can also... something else can occur. You can discern, loved one, man, the other side. You know, but when it talks about the discerning of spirits, like say, let's say good angels or God or the Holy Spirit moving. You remember Stephen after he gave that incredible speech in Acts chapter 7. And they're going to stone him. They're going to kill him. He says this, but Stephen in Acts 7:55, it says, being full of the Holy Spirit, he looked up into heaven. He saw the glory of God, meaning the Shekinah glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Did you know that Stephen was the first one to see Jesus, the risen, resurrected, glorified, risen Lord who was seated, now standing in that perfect glorified state before John, before Paul. He says, and look, I see the heavens open. I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. So the Holy Spirit turned the hour of Stephen's martyrdom, his death, into an incredible revelation. The discerning of spirits also, though, it's where we have the capacity by the power of God, the Spirit of God, to discern, if you will, the activity of the demonic realm or evil spirits. You remember in Peter, whenever Peter was there with Simon the sorcerer, who was trying to buy the gift of God, the laying on of hands and all that. Peter says in chapter 8, verse 23, he says, "I see, Simon, you're a sorcerer, but I see something about you." In other words, now he's discerning a spirit. He says, "I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." In other words, he was a prisoner of sin. He was a prisoner of the demonic realm. And you know the rest of the story. In Acts chapter 16, verse 16, when Paul goes in and that little girl who is has a spirit of Pythian, if you will, the python spirit, she's possessed and she's a fortune teller and so forth. And it says that as that they were going to prayer, a certain little girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us and brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Remember, she was demon possessed. This girl followed Paul, cried out, "Oh," this demon in her actually, said, "These are men, these are servants of the Most High God who proclaim us the way of salvation," in other words, the way to be saved. "And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly grieved, turned and said to the spirit," not to the little girl, we don't fight against flesh and blood, amen? Okay, "to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her," and he came out of her, literally instantaneous, that very hour. Now, the discerning of spirits, seeing into that realm, knowing that that can happen is a very frightening thing, I believe, personally. Because, see, whenever you see the presence and the activity of that unseen world, which is that motivates a human being, it is a very, very frightening thing. This has only happened a few times in my life. I don't like that part. There's another world out there, loved one. Do you understand me? But the purpose of the gifts is to build up the body. The purpose of the gifts of the Spirit are to set people free. Amen? Never to harm people. When God gives you divine facts and knowledge about something, it's never for you. It's to set somebody free. It's never to puff you up or build you up. It's instantaneous. It happens and then it's over. You don't have that gift. He used you just for a moment of time. But in my first pastorate, one of the strangest times that I've ever had, and still today it troubles me, is I was locking up the church, getting ready to go home. Of course, when I lock it up, the doors had these windows, but they had that mirror stuff on so that it reflects. You know what I'm talking about? And so I could see if there was somebody behind me. Well, you ever had that feeling like somebody's watching you? So I'm locking up the door. Of course, right here is my telephone number. It says, in case of emergency, call Bill, da-da-da-da-da. You know, my telephone number's there. And I felt like somebody was watching me. And I turn around, there was a guy in a car, and he just looked at me, and I was going, "Oh, man, this guy's scary." Yeah. No, I was a young pastor. I was a young man. Built, too, man. So I get home, and the telephone starts ringing. And I said, "Hello," and a voice said, "Is this the man is this the man wearing the blue shirt?" And I was wearing a dark blue polo and shirt. And I said, "Who is this?" He said, "Are you the man wearing the dark blue shirt?" I said, "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "I've driven a long way because God told me to come, and that you're going to pray for me, and I'm going to be completely delivered from what I'm suffering from." I said, "Is that right?" Loved one, I'm telling you the truth. I said, "Really?" And I said, "Well, we're having church tonight at about 6 o'clock, so, you know, you're welcome to come to the service." I'm not going down there. I don't know who this person is. Do you understand? So I go to the service at night, and instead of me teaching, my brother said, he said, "Bill, I'm going to teach tonight." I said, "Okay, I'll go up into the sound booth and I'm going to run the sound." So I'm up there in the balcony, I'm running the sound and everything. And he said, and all of a sudden, this guy walks in. There's a whole bunch of people there. The worship thing is going on. But while I'm there, up in the sound booth, minding my own business, not paying attention to anything, the guy's coming to be prayed for. Good. Well, my brother will pray for you, whatever. Immediately, the discernment of the spirits take place. First time it ever happened in my life. And as that person walked down through the aisle, I don't know what was beside him, but there were two something with a hand on each shoulder. And it was horrible. And all of a sudden, I saw myself at the altar praying for him. I saw the hands removed, and I saw those black, whatever they were, run all the way down the aisle, out of the building. I even heard the doors open and shut, honest to God. And by then, I knew I needed counseling. I needed to be committed. I knew that the cheese had slid off the cracker completely. No, you think I'm kidding. I am out of my mind. I said, I'm having a nervous breakdown. This is what the ministry has done to me. I said, anyway, so the service started. I'm running the sound, and I'm passing that off going, Bill, you're nuts. And I'm being honest with you, loved one. That's what I said to myself. I was so concerned about myself, I thought I needed to go have a physical or something. When the service is over, the altar workers say, hey, you know, my brother said, hey, if there's anybody that needs prayer tonight, we're going to be down here at the altar, da 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 da. So the altar fills up with a few people, and that guy that I saw that wanted me, you know, that called me, he's there. And as God is my witness, my brother walked up to him, was getting ready to pray for him. He stopped and looked at that man. And he looked up in the balcony at me and says, hey, Bill. I said, yeah. He said, I'm not supposed to pray for this man. You are. I said, and how did he know that? Are you following me? I said, I am. He said, come down. So I come down, and all I do, I just remember what I saw, and I didn't even touch the man. I said, you need to take your hands off of this man in the name of Jesus. He was instantly saved. He was instantly set free. Instantly. Now listen to me. He was a drug addict and a drunkard. Instantly set free. He went next Sunday. He brought his girlfriend, who was a drug addict. She was saved and never did. They were both. Do you understand? See, that is the. I don't know how to explain those things, but here's the deal. It says in verse 11, loved one. It says, you know. Well, let me back up. Can you imagine if I had been disobedient? No, not. Do you see what I'm getting at? Well, I'm not going to have people think I'm crazy. I don't want people to think I'm from such and such a church. Yes, I thought I was nuts. Thank God I did it. Because that's how you learn. That's how you learn the moving of the Spirit, because He speaks to each of us differently and uses us differently on our own emotional makeup, our own level of maturity. But unless you, I know that sounds crazy, but unless you're obedient, you will never learn. Does that make sense? That's why it says in verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. And He does so how? Distributing to each one individually, not as we want it, as He wills. Spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. They're given to the individual. I used you, now it's over. And they're manifested as His will. It happened, now it's done. Does that make sense? That is the way that it works. It's that unity in diversity. Oh, loved one, don't be ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit. You can't get them at seminary from prophets, from pastors, from teachers. No man can impart to you anything. But the Holy Spirit is God's domain. The gifts are His domain. And He will use you as He sees fit, when He sees fit, and how He sees fit. But if you are not obedient to Him, you will miss your adventure with Jesus. Those are the three gifts of revelation: the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. They all have to do with divine information from the mind of the living God. The men who wrote the New Testament, loved one, listen to me. The Holy Spirit was not a doctrine to them. He was a person, or is a person. He's a divine helper of the church. He's an experience. Don't miss it. But you have to be obedient to get in on that experience. Chapter 14, verse 1, Paul says, oh, listen pursue love. Go after love with all of your heart. Why? That's the divine energy behind the Spirit. And desire spiritual gifts. Desire them. Why? They set people free. They bring glory to Jesus Christ. Listen, my life with Rebecca's life, we have had an adventure with Jesus. An adventure. Don't miss it. Jesus said in Mark 1:17, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus said in John 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. Never. But will have the light of life. Jesus said in John 3:7, you must be born again. If you don't know Christ, you must be born again. If not, you'll not only miss it, the adventure, but you will miss heaven. Father, I pray I've said only things you would have me say. Difficult morning, but I love you. I pray that they heard these words. Use them, Lord. Don't let this church be ignorant concerning the beautiful, wonderful gifts of the Spirit. Use them mightily, and may their hearts be ready to be used. This morning, as our eyes are closed and no one looking around, I know the early service, we're all the family of God usually. But if you do not know Jesus Christ, if he's not the Lord of your life, I beg you to come to him. You say, Bill, how do I do that? Well, first of all, if you'll lift your hand and say, Bill, that's me. I want to be a Christian. I want Jesus to save me. I want to be forgiven of my sins. Then lift your hand high and put it right back down. And then don't come down here. Then I'm going to pray for you. If there are any hands, let me see them now. If not, I'm going to close the service. Anyone here say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Then, Father, I believe that all that are present, they all belong to you. I thank you for this day. I thank you for Harley. I thank you for him, Lord. There's no one like you. We give you praise and honor now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. We're going to stand, please. We're